Joel chapter 1 and verse 3. I didn't need you to go there. I'm just going to read you this verse. Joel 1, 3 tells me, tell ye your children of it. What? Of the Lord. And let your children tell their children. And their children another generation. Well, if I read this verse correctly, the things we instruct our children on will one day... See, we were once children. It's been a long time. It's been a long time. Where's Mrs. Bear? Mrs. Bear, it's been a while since we've been children. But the things that you were taught, you then teach to the next generation, who then teaches the next generation, and so it goes on. See, the best way to parent is to have the long view in sight. The things I'm teaching you as a young man or instructing you as a young lady, I am preparing you for adulthood. It's not just to succeed right now. It's not just to figure out how to work the make sandcastles and sell lemonade. It is to prepare you for godliness, a life of godliness, for this generation and the next generation and the next generation. Open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 10 this morning. As you can tell, we are going to be talking about children. Everyone get a handout? Did anybody not get a handout? Sarah May. Justin, can you do me a favor? Go out to the little table out there. There's some handouts out there. Can you grab those and hand those out to anybody that raises their hand? Appreciate Justin this morning. All right. If you need a handout, raise your hand. All right. Just one. Two. All right, sounds good. Peripheral. Three. All right, Katie. Good. All right. Mark chapter 10. I love reading in the scriptures how the Lord Jesus Christ deals with so many different scenarios. If we look at John chapter 3, who does he deal with? Chloe, do you remember John chapter 3? Who comes to Jesus by night? Nicodemus. Do you remember Nicodemus? Chapter 4. So what do we know about Nicodemus? He was taught. He was educated. He had position. He was had influence, all of those things. He was a man. Then John chapter 4, we're told about who? Who does he meet at the well? Well, the woman at the well. What do we know about her? Well, she was a woman. She was... needy and just the complete opposite of John chapter 3. In the Bible, we have record of every demographic of people coming to Christ. We have men and women, rich, poor, sick, healthy. We have rulers, we have soldiers, we have businessmen coming to Christ, the religious, and even those that are caught in sin. In Mark chapter 10, we're told of another demographic. Demographic means like a people group, all right? Mark chapter 10 and verse 13. And they brought young children to him. Young children to him. That he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, it says. And said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Man, I had a blessing yesterday. We were at Samantha and Lee's house and celebrating Luna and Sapphire's birthday, turning one today. Right? Is it not today? Whose birthday is today? I think it's Zipporah's today. Who's Tuesday? Anna's Tuesday. There was a lot going on. Yeah. Who is it? Thursday and Teddy.
My wife is this Thursday.
This Thursday. Thursday's a big day. Big day. Tuesday, Mr. Lauk. Marianne? 30th of January. No, okay. Of November? Wonderful. My mom's was November 29th, if you need it. That was a long time ago. All right. What was I saying? Oh, yes, Luna and Sapphire. Luna is so little and cute and dainty and just holding her. And then Sapphire is not dainty and, her cute little chubby cheeks. And then Zipporah likes to cuddle, and she takes her head and she nuzzles it in. And, oh, it's so wonderful. Just playing with little Richard, little John there. And you want to know why your kids come out of church crazy? I'll tell you. Two words, Eric Rice. All right, that's it. All right. So there I am, and I'm holding all these little babies, and I'm just loving it. And you know, I'm holding, I think it was Sapphire, and she's like this, going after my glasses, right? She was trying to get your glasses too. And man, they're just so precious. And you look at this, and you have pretty much zero expectations for a child like that. It's like, I just want you to do you. Like, I'm not asking you to get me a drink. I don't even expect you to stay out of trouble. If I put a drink out, I expect you to stick your hands in my drink. Zero expectations, yet we have this huge amount of love and care for them. And that's what's happening here. Christ has these little children, and he takes them up in his arms. You work the nursery, right? Some of you ladies love to work the nursery. Why? Because I love holding the babies. I love the little children. You know what? God uses little children. Here he teaches us something about little children. There's some things that we can learn about children. Children, honestly, are... question number one. Observations about children. Children are simple beings. They're simple. For the most part, not very complicated. They say what they mean. Sometimes, to an error. Have you been in the grocery store when the show goes by and the kids are like, "Hey, Daddy, why are they..." Whoa, shh, shh, shh. There's that Geico commercial, right? Guy with blue hair walks by, and they're like, "We all see it. We all see it. I got it. Yes." And the guy's like, "Blue hair!" He's like, "Yes, I know. Yes, I know." And children do that. They tell you, they mean what they say for the most part. Their emotions are easily seen and understood. Jackson is hungry. He's crying. We know what he needs. A five-year-old falls and hits their head, and they're bruised, and they're holding their head, and they're upset and frustrated. We understand that they're not trying to manipulate us or gain pity. They're truly hurt. For the most part, their emotions are easily seen and understood. Ever deal with an adult and go, "Well, what did they mean by that? That was weird," and you walk away. And kids are honestly easier to work with. They're simpler. Really, what you see is what they get. What you get. I love praying with children, hearing their heart. Their entire world is based off of two things: love and security. That is what every child wants. They want to be loved, and they want to feel safe. They want their needs met. They want food, clothing, safety. Love. And when one of these is withheld or missing, that is when we begin to see problems. Problems will develop when the natural needs of a child is not met. That's when we see young people acting out. And we try and help in those situations by providing the security and love. I'm thankful for a church house that can provide security and love to maybe some unloved people. It's good to be, maybe you don't have an ideal family situation and you come in these doors and you experience something and feel something that you don't get anywhere else. Man, I'm glad you come here. I'm thankful that these six sets of double doors are open to you. Young children in America will begin to formulate wants that are outside of those needs. So what do you mean? Like a technology or certain experiences. But if you've had an opportunity to travel the world, you'll find, even in third world countries, young children very content and very thankful and joyful with when they have food, clothing, safety, and love. That's really all that is necessarily required. But those things are required. I remember the first time we went to Mexico, and we were at that church in León, Mexico, and the young people there, every single service, they wore the same outfit. They had one church outfit. You say, they must have been miserable. Quite the contrary. Imagine how easy it would be to get ready for church. I'm wearing my church outfit. And they were happy and appreciative and content. See, we get a false sense of what we need, and we try to extend that list. Maybe we don't provide love, but we'll provide an item. No, what we need is love. What children need is love. Christ shows us that. Number one, children are simple beings. But number two, their entire world is based off of two things, love and security. If you can provide that, they'll trust you, believe you, all of those things. Children accept things based on faith that many adults struggle with. Say no. Let's go back to Mark chapter 10. In verse 16 it says, "And he took them up in his arms and his put his hands upon them and blessed them." Here we see the gentle touch of the Lord in a child's life, reminding me again that God has put a value on children, that we don't just toss them aside, that we don't just overlook them, that they have a part in his kingdom too. So much so that it says this, in verse 15, it says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child." He says, what I'm looking for out of you adults is the same faith that a child puts in me. They just believe me. Children often accept things based on faith that many adults struggle with. He makes it a point and says, hey, I want your heart like this little one's. They just believe me. At the end of verse 16, do you know what comes after verse 16? Verse 17. "And he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Well, I'll tell you, have childlike faith. Have just trust me, believe me, like he just said in verse 15. "And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth." Look at now. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor." What is the one thing he missed? Because he gives us a list. The thing he missed was simple childlike faith and humility. And he says, here, I'm going to show you. You're missing something. Go sell all that you have. You tell that to a child, and the Lord says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sell everything you have and come follow me. A child will do that. Say, no. Let me take you back to Vacation Bible School when the kids are emptying out their bank accounts to bring every nickel, dime, penny, dollar, $5, $10, $20 bill to give to missions. They brought their accounts to $0. Tell me the last time you brought your account to $0 for the cause of Christ. See, children accept things based on faith that many adults struggle with. Children easily trust God without question. Have you ever prayed with a child Ever knelt down and just listened to a child and their prayer requests? I'm praying for, you know, specific things. I'm praying for specific people. They're praying for the entire world to be saved. It's because they don't know. Or they just believe that God can do it. They're praying for their grandpas and their grandmas to trust Christ. Their parents to come to Christ. Things that maybe we have turned a page on and just said, they're too cold, they're too hard. No, they still believe God will do that. Children accept things based on faith that many adults struggle with. You listen to their prayers and we see that they have no problem believing in really big things. Children see things more black and white, right and wrong. Children are less likely to rationalize their behavior. Did you take the cookie? Yes. Why? Because I wanted it. Is that right? No. Talk to an adult. Did you take the cookie? Yeah. Why? Well, when I was a child, I was neglected of cookies, and I've had a hard week, and I deserve this. And we rationalize sin. Not that eating cookies is sin, obviously. But children see things very black and white, where we try and rationalize our behavior. It's a danger in a car when a child learns driving rules. Dad, what's the speed limit here? 55. You're doing 57. Son, it's okay. We're allowed. But the speed limit's 55. Okay, you're right. You're right. That light was kind of red that you went through. It was orange. Don't you have something else to do back there? They see it black and white. We rationalize our ill behavior. You know what children love? Justice and equity. Well, what is equity? Equity is impartial justice. That's what children desire. Children are simple. Their entire world is based off of two things, love and security. They accept things based on faith that many adults struggle with. And children see things black and white. You see why the Lord brought them into his hands and said, hey, let me teach you something. The man in the next passage goes away sorrowful, it says. In verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Hey, if you get to an adult and you got all this stuff that's holding you back, see, one thing he lacked, and that was humility. He just couldn't get over himself. Child has no problem with that. God uses children to teach us things. He uses children to accomplish his work. Now we are children. Mrs. Bayer, you're a child of God. And some of those same things that young children desire, the Lord desires of us. He would like us to just simply trust him. Hebrews chapter 11. What the Lord requires of us. Number one, to just simply trust. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 6. The Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. That word impossible. Maybe you've been working on your car and you can't get the bolt off and you say, oh, that's impossible. Well, that's an exaggeration. We could get a torch. We can do a lot of things. It's difficult. But here when God uses the word impossible, you know what it means? Impossible. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. What does God require of us? Much like children, he wants us to just trust him. It is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This concept should not be complicated. This should be a simple thing for us. As a child of God, see, why do my children trust me? Well, I've proven myself to them. I've provided, I've protected, I've loved. Why should we trust the Lord? How much better the God of heaven? We've, as parents, have all made promises. Ever make a promise before Brother Runyon and then had to adjust? Hey, okay, let's get this done, and then we're going to go to McDonald's and grab lunch. And then life happens, and then we're not at McDonald's. You said, I know, I'm sorry. Well, things happened, and you know that we had got a flat tire, or you know, and I looked at our bank account, or whatever it is. I don't know. But has the Lord ever made us a promise that he's gone back on? Never. As a child of God, it should not be strange for him to ask of me to simply trust him, because he has provided the love and security day after day after day and has never missed one day. So even though I'm 42 years old, I should still come to the Lord with childlike faith just to simply trust him. We ought to do everything out of love. If we act out of obligation, jealousy, guilt, we are not really representing Christ very well. Unconditional love is something that the Holy Spirit certainly needs to work on us in the inside. Look at 1 John chapter 1. If you got the 1 John chapter 1, it's not that great of a loss. It's like two pages turned. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Not only has the Lord provided security in my life, he has provided love, and he has proven it over and over and over again. The two things that every child desires is love and security. And God has given me every single reason to trust him, because he has provided and he has also perfectly expressed his love to me. Therefore, when we have known and believed the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Go to 2 John. Turn the page one time. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments, because we have experienced the love. Remember that first verse that we looked at, Joel chapter 1 and verse 3? I want you to kind of get it in your mind. As you are instructing children, as you're instructing young people, that one day they too will be adults instructing young people, and those people that they're instructing will then, and it's generation to generation. So as God has expressed his love to us, we then are to walk after that commandment. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. I too should act in love towards others. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 12. John 15, 12 says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That's the combination verse. As a child of God, I have experienced God's love in my life. There has never been a time when I could say, I don't know about God's love for me. I cannot say that. Not honestly. And because of that, I need to replicate that and walk in that and show that to others. As a very similar to that pattern in Joel chapter 1 and verse 3, it has been taught to me, therefore I need to teach it to somebody else. I need to show it to somebody else. Number one, simple trust. That's what God requires of us. Number two, to do everything out of love. Number three, to be content. Contentment is an attitude from which we approach life and circumstances. We're going to be talking about this a little bit more in our Sunday morning message. But when we're always looking for more, what that tells God is that we are not satisfied. Ever take your family out for something, a treat? Maybe you do treats a lot, maybe you don't do treats a lot. Anybody? I don't know. And you go out for a treat and then, you know, you get pizza or something like that. Maybe you do something special. And you're leaving there. Hey, can we get ice cream too? And as a parent, of course you would want to provide all of those things. And I like ice cream just like everybody. But what it smacks of is they're just not satisfied. They want more. And that hurts your heart, right, as a parent? How about when we're looking for more in our life and the Lord says, look at all I've given you. Yeah, but can I have ice cream too? And sometimes we ask the Lord, and I wonder how He feels. I've met all your needs. I just desire a relationship with you, and can you not be content with what you have? God has promised to meet our needs, not our wants. There's a big difference. Needs and wants are very different. Hebrews chapter 13. To be content. Anybody struggle with contentment? I know I do. Contentment. Tough. Because we lived in the land of more. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. I believe Mr. McDowell just recently kind of went through that word conversation with our teenagers. Your conversation isn't just the words that you say. It's the Bible tells us that we can behold one another's conversation. You can't see the words coming out of my mouth, but you can see what I believe. You can see what I think about things. You can see my whole demeanor about things by what I do. And it says, let your conversation, let your actions, your words, all that you are, be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What do I need? I need the Lord. And that should be satisfying enough. The Bible tells us in I think it's in Numbers, that the Lord is the portion of our inheritance. With God, really, that's all I need. Say, that's a lot easier said than done. I understand that. But understand this, that contentment is an attitude by which I look at every life instance. If you're covetous over here, you'll be covetous over here. If you're content over here, you'll be content over here. Be content. Be content. A person, we ought to live by faith. Number four. Simply trust the Lord, number one. Do everything out of love, number two. Number three, be content. Number four, live by faith. Listen now, a person does not have faith, they demonstrate it. Faith is not private. It's something that should be acted out before a watching world. Yes? Faith without works is what? Dead. Our faith ought to be acted upon, seen. If God says it, we should believe it and act upon it in our daily life. Hebrews chapter 10. You see these great lessons as we look at what a child is and the beauty of a child in the eyes of God and all the things that they have and how we should just make those applications to us towards the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. It's a demonstration. We are told earlier to walk in love. It's not just having something on the inside, it's something that we express. We should live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God says, I'm not pleased if you hold back. I would like you to demonstrate your faith. And a little child, man, they're good at that. Children do very well with walking by faith. They just don't know any better, right? But God is pleased with that. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Here it says this, my soul shall have no pleasure in Him. And then trusting the Holy Spirit of God. Number 5. The Christian is led daily by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit acts in Christ's place. Remember, Christ said this, John 14, 15, 16. He says, I need to leave so I can send you somebody. He calls him the Comforter. And you know, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. The Holy Spirit gives us, number one, wisdom. Ephesians 1:17 says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. Wisdom. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it tells us that He gives us strength. And in John chapter 16, go there, John chapter 16 and verse 13. John 16. In verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Not only will the Holy Spirit of God give us wisdom, He'll give us strength, and He'll give us guidance. What does the Lord require of us? Well, He wants us to act like a child. Oh, throwing a fit and demanding what we want when we don't get it? No. Simply trusting Him, doing everything out of love, being content, living by faith, trusting the Holy Spirit, and knowing right from wrong. God does have a plan for your life. God does want to be involved daily in your life. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11. 1 Chronicles 16, 11. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face. How often? Continually. God does desire to be involved in your life. He has a plan for you, Jeremiah 29 tells us. An expected end, it says. And Psalm 37, go there, Psalm 37. Say, I just got the First Chronicles, I'm sorry. Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. Knowing right from wrong. God has a plan for your life. He wants to be involved daily in your life. And He has an order about it. You know, so do children thrive in a controlled environment. Schedules. Some of the first things as a newborn, what do the doctors or nurses encourage you? Try and get them on a schedule. It'll help you and it'll help them. And we see that all throughout our life. And some of you work at a place and there's no structure. That would be difficult. Every day it's different. Every day it's something different. You don't know what you're walking into. Man, that's stressful. You know, a child will thrive. We've seen students that we were told that came into school that were, oh, they just have a hard time focusing. They just don't sit still and they don't. Yeah, you put them in a controlled environment, though, where there's, yes, security and love, but also structure, and they'll do so well. All right, every morning at 8:30, we're going to stand over here. We're going to stand at attention, feet together, smiles on our faces, but yet still a little serious, with the right hand over our heart, and we say the pledges. Then we do congratulation slips. Then we send them to their classrooms. And then we do Bible reading. And then we work on math. And then at 10:30 every single day, we have a break. At 10:25, their stomachs start. I'm hungry. Every Tuesday, we have gym class. Every Thursday, we have chapel service. Every Friday, we have gym class. On Mondays, we have choir. There's a structure. God has a, and children do well in that. Do you understand that God has a plan and order for your life? He uses the word order. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This is what I want you to do. And in there, there's love and security and strength. God values children. Go back to Mark chapter 9. We're almost done because the clock says so. Matthew, Mark chapter 9. I have a couple more thoughts to try and pull this all together, and hopefully at the end of this you'll be happy you've been here. All right, Mark chapter 9 and verse 35. Mark 9, 35. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, is Mark chapter 9 before Mark chapter 10? Joe, yes? All right, so like less than. 9 is less than 10, so it's before. All right, so this is not the same story that we read about before. Mark chapter 9, verse 35. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and he set him in the midst. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receiveth me not, but him that sent me. God values children. Comparative passage, Matthew chapter 18, if you want it. But see the honor that God gave the children? He took them, he set them in the midst. He says, see, this one right here, he's important, she's important. Makes a big deal of it. Do you understand that we are ambassadors to children? Say, what does that mean? Think about it now. We have little minds all around us. Maybe you don't have little minds and little hearts inside your house anymore. But you come into a place where there's little minds all around you. And you are sent from another place to represent somebody else, to express those views of that other person to those little children. You are an ambassador to a child. Every child should be molded and shaped in love. Mark chapter 9 and verse 42. Same passage, different story. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone. Ever see a millstone? If you go to the great Hamlin Library, there's a millstone out front. Ever see this thing? It's huge. I don't know how they got it there. I don't want to have to move it. It looks heavy. You tie that around my neck and toss me in the water, I sink. He says, to be deliberate or indirect action to cause another to turn from faith, God takes very serious. We are ambassadors to the children. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, he says, oh man, if you turn a child that has that simple faith, you take that child that loves me and will just do whatever I want, and you turn them against, oh, it's not good, he says. God values children. We're an ambassador to them. We need to take that responsibility seriously. Seriously. God has a plan for children. You know, it's sometimes difficult to look at a child or a toddler who is, you know, picking up French fries underneath, you know, off the floor, or finding them in the seat, thinking of great aspirations for them. To look at a child who grabs a crayon and goes like this and think, oh, they're going to be an engineer. You know, you just look at it and go, man, I hope they make it to 7. Like, you know, I'm worried. And it's sometimes difficult to look at a toddler and see anything other than a child. Or look at a teenager. Are you a teenager? Great. Look at a teenager and look at Justin and see anything other than that. But time does not stop with him. Remember our first verse. We're going to instruct the children because one day, Justin, one day you're going to be a father. And you're going to have children. And the things you're learning today, you're going to teach. And you're going to take the word of God and apply it to your son's heart. And then the generation next. And maybe, where's Mrs. Geralman? I saw her. Okay. And then maybe, Mrs. Geralman, when your children are grown up, Mr. and Mrs. Geralman, and your children are grown up, and you're going to take some truths, and you're going to find a little person walking around here, and just love on them, and be sweet on them, and be an encouragement to them, because you are an ambassador to them. And God values children, so we need to value what God values. God has a plan. And sometimes it's difficult to look past the things that annoy us. But remember, understand that some of the very traits that bother us or test our patience may be the very things that will help them stand and navigate against trials later on in their life. There's an importance of helping a child come to Christ early in their life. This will give them a great advantage later on in life. How many of you wish you got saved as a child? Anybody saved as an adult? Yes. How many of you wish you got saved younger? Sure. Could you imagine? Could you imagine knowing what you know now or having those things taught to you? The heartache that it would have protected you from? You know, often we see little babies and God sees kings. We see a toddler, God sees a missionary. We see a teenager that has a hard time combing their hair. God sees a CEO of an international company with worldwide influence. Because we failed to take into account Joel chapter 1 and verse 3, that there's generations to come, that there's something to follow this. We have no idea what God has in mind with the children around here. We must strive to raise them, anticipating that God will call them to be used for Him. That's what we need to prepare them for. Remember Moses? Oh, his life was spared for a great purpose. Joseph, just a young boy with some dreams, ends up saving two nations. Samuel, just trusted His mom just trusted God with Samuel and allowed God to do a great work in his life. David, God shaped his servants even from a young age. Daniel, whose strong convictions transferred into a strong foundation. And little Christ, the baby, Jesus, the hope of the whole world in a child. I'm not saying that your son's going to be the Messiah. But they have a life to come. I don't know what God desires from Liam's life. But God's got a plan. You know what I want to help? I want to help be an example and a mold to him that he experiences love and security all along the way. That when God comes and taps him on his shoulder and says, here's what I have for your life, he is ready. Because God has a plan. And each one of these have value. And we each have a responsibility in each of their lives. Last verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 26, it says this. For ye seeing your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You know what that tells me? God's got a plan for children. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Remember, there's a generation after this. It doesn't end with you. Sometimes it is difficult to see past the messy room. Sometimes it is difficult to see past the disrespectful answers and the bad attitude or the shyness to think that God could significantly use these children. But children are like puppies. Say how? They always grow up. And one day, they're going to be an adult. Never underestimate God. God has chosen the insignificant and lowly things for a great purpose. His great purpose. Pray that the Lord will help show you what He sees in them. God's got a plan. God's got a plan for the group that's up there screaming and yelling and throwing goldfish and I don't know what they do up there. God's got a plan. One day, they're going to be here. And one day, we're going to be gone. The things that we have been taught need to be expressed. The things that God has showed us needs to be expressed to the next generation because there's a generation after them and a generation after them. The value of children. God uses children. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for this great reminder of how valuable children are. Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified with what was said here. God, my desire is to express your thoughts, not mine. Lord, I pray that you'd help us not soon forget these things. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.